Good morning and welcome to the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. It is May 2nd, 2024. This is episode 155. Good afternoon. I'm getting this episode out a little late, as my one mega fan pointed out to me, saying, hey, where's today's episode? And how gratifying is that, that there are people, or at least a people out there, who is anticipating the podcast and is disappointed when it doesn't come out on time. Interestingly enough, here's what happened. So last night, those of you who listen to the podcast regularly know that I'm not really good at the whole sleeping at night thing. I'm usually actually filming these episodes at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and then I upload them to release at 8 a.m. So even though I'm saying, hey, this is what I did yesterday, usually I have filmed them in the early morning of when I haven't gone to bed yet. It's just how my sleep schedule is right now, and I'm constantly battling that. But last night, I was actually tired at nighttime, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm tired, and it's only like midnight. And so I actually like went to bed, which is very rare. And then I woke up this morning and I had some work stuff to do like normal human beings. And so I didn't have a podcast episode uploaded and ready to go. And then I got a message from her friend saying, where's the podcast? Which I had totally anticipated doing, but it was nice. It was nice that somebody was looking for the podcast. It's nice to have somebody to disappoint. Isn't that kind of interesting? You know, I think we spend most of our lives like not wanting to disappoint people, but if there's somebody to disappoint, then that means that there's somebody in your life who actually cares. What would have been worse is if I didn't post this episode and nobody said a thing, nobody noticed. Nobody notices little old me. So anyway, now, right as I sat down, in terms of people being disappointed in me, the second I sat down in this chair and was ready to film this episode, I got another text message from my agent here in Arizona going, Paul, where is that audition? You're past due for this audition. And I totally freaked out because I had gotten this audition request, and for some reason I had it in my head that it was due Friday. It was not due Friday. It was due today, Thursday, about 2 hours ago. And that is kind of not okay. And so I texted back immediately. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I thought I had it tomorrow. I'll do it right now. Blah, 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 blah. So then I had to get up, go look at this audition, and it was a Planet Fitness audition, and the whole audition is me pretty much running and jogging. So fortunately, I didn't have to like memorize a bunch of lines and stuff, but that's why I'm in athletic wear. And so then I went and did that audition and then submitted that, and now I am filming the podcast so that I can get this updated or uploaded. And so pretty much what I'm learning here is the first time that I actually go to bed at a decent hour, everything goes to crap. And I end up disappointing everybody in my life. not everybody, but... So hopefully my agent will not be too upset at me. I'm sure she was not happy, as agents have to work their freaking arses off to even get an audition. For all of these actors who claim they want to be actors, and then to even get an audition to have an actor miss a deadline can be very frustrating. So I do not like putting people who have signed up to support me in that position. But that's what happened. As soon as I realized that I was a day off in my mind or whatever, I submitted it as quick as I can, and we'll see what happens there. So I'll tell you, there's this recurring theme that keeps popping up, and I know I've talked about it before, but it surfaced again today. I was having a conversation with a good comedian friend of mine, and he was talking about this, this article, or not an article, but like a social media post that this other comic had made. And this comic was kind of criticizing, I think it was Jerry Seinfeld, saying, oh, Jerry Seinfeld was on stage and had a notebook and was telling the audience, hey, I want to try out this new joke. Telling the audience this is a new joke, which comedians do that all the time, especially, you know, comedians who are in a position to have an audience and the audience is just there to see them, that they'll try out new jokes in front of their live audiences. Sometimes they'll have their notebooks on stage. So that's not uncommon at all for a comic to do that. And especially somebody like Jerry Seinfeld, you know, he's kind of legendary, so he kind of gets to do whatever he wants. So evidently the joke that he was saying and presenting as a new joke, apparently he had actually said like years ago, and somebody like online, I guess, had called this out and just said, wait, that was a new joke. He said that back in 2005 at the whatever. So the comic who was posting about this talked about how cowardly that is and how that was, you know, Jerry Seinfeld somehow trying to elicit unwarranted laughter because obviously this joke that he was presenting as brand new was not brand new, and Jerry Seinfeld was doing this as a deliberate attempt. If I'm understanding what this comic was trying to insinuate, was that this was an intentional act by Jerry Seinfeld to try to get a little bit more sympathy for the joke than maybe it warranted, right? Because if he had just gone up there and said the joke, then the audience's anticipation is, oh, we're getting the good stuff. This should already be funny. But if he goes up and then says, hey, everybody, sort of a pre-apology, hey, everybody, new joke, it's here in my notebook, I'm going to try it out, I hope you like it, blah, 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 here's the joke. And then the audience can decide, oh, as a unrefined new joke, that's pretty good. But as a seasoned, honed joke, not so good. Then, you know, as the comic was stating, well, that's just very cowardly. You know, he's just trying to pander for laughs. My whole take on this is I have, first of all, no clue if any of that is true or if any of that is what actually happened or if that is how the actual events went down. So let's break it down. Since I don't know the truth, let's just break it down with a couple of, we'll do hypothesis and then my take if that hypothesis were indeed the truth. This hypothesis might not be the right word. So hypothesis is we're testing something, right? I don't think hypothesis is the right word because we're not testing something. I'm speculating. So let's speculate a couple of different potential truths of what actually did or didn't go down. Okay, so let's just say that the facts are true. Let's say that Jerry Seinfeld was at a comedy club. He did have a notebook. He did tell an audience, hey, this is a new joke. And it so happened that years ago, he had told that joke before. Okay, so now we get into it. Let's just assume those are the facts. So now we're getting to some assumptions, right? So now with the comics who are criticizing this act and calling it cowardly, what they are assuming is that Seinfeld, first of all, knew that this was not a new joke. Like, he was lying. He was being deceitful. Hey, everybody, this is a new joke, when he knows full well that this is a joke I wrote 15 years ago that I'm bringing back. Now, we don't actually know even that. And I can say, as a comic, and if you're really doing it, and I do know that Jerry Seinfeld writes hours of comedy every single day, and he's been doing that since 1976. So does Jerry Seinfeld remember every single bit and every single joke and every single premise he has ever written? No, he doesn't. So is it very possible that 15 years ago, he thought of a joke, wrote it down, performed it, 15 years later has totally forgotten it, was, you know, and then whatever happened to spark the joke 15 years ago came up again. He writes it down again and goes, oh, this is a funny new joke, and then presents it. Highly probable. Highly probable. Now, I'm not saying that is what happened, because I don't know what happened. I don't even know if the facts that we're discussing, again, are actually true. But that would be one option. And if that is the option, is that an act of cowardice, as the comic was accusing him? No. So let's take a second possibility. Second possibility is, yes, he had his notebook. He said, hey, audience, this is a new joke. And yes, he did say that exact same joke 15 and 20 years ago. And let's assume that it was deliberate, that Seinfeld was presenting it as a new joke to get a little extra sympathy, to get a little extra cushion from the audience. Is that cowardly? Well, if he hasn't told the joke in 15 years, it could actually still be new to tell it again. So it could simply be him going, well, I'm just going to say this is a new joke, although I did write it 15 years ago, but 15 years ago, maybe it worked, maybe it didn't work 15 years ago. So maybe this is a resurrection, which happens all the time. I'm doing that right now as I'm trying to rewrite a new act. I've told old jokes that maybe I even told once or twice 10 years ago, and I'm writing them down again and rewriting them, and they feel brand new to me. And if I were in that situation and I was in front of an audience and be like, all right, everybody, this is a new joke, I'm probably not going to go into an explanation like, hey, everybody, although this is not a new joke because I actually tried it 10 years ago, 10 years ago, I didn't really work it out and didn't become part of my regular act. So I am now rewriting it again to present it anew in front of this audience. So here we go. You know, is that explanation? Does the audience care? First of all, no, the audience doesn't care. The audience doesn't care. Here's what the audience cares about. Am I about to hear something that makes me laugh? That is what the audience cares about. Now, do us comedians, I've definitely done it, when we're trying new material, do we like to get a little bit of that cushion, a little bit of that, hey, everybody, I'm going to try some new stuff. Is that cool? So that it does temper the audience's expectation. Yeah. I think that's totally fine because there's some truth to that. Now, is it cowardly? I don't think it's cowardly. It's maybe creates a little bit of a safety net. So if you want to call that cowardice, because, you know, the comic isn't just going like, I have this new joke, but I'm just going to dive right into it as though it's brand new or as though it's what I expect to be funny. There could be a case made for that. But I know lots of comics do this, though, and famous comics. I know that Chris Rock does that. Chris Rock will walk up there with a notebook. Dion Cole does that. Dion Cole will literally have his list of jokes and be like, these are the jokes I'm trying tonight. So is that cowardly, or is it just being real and transparent with the audience that you are in a development phase of new material and here you go? And for all the comics out there who, when you have brand new material, you just go out there and you throw it out there and treat it as though it's supposed to be funny. And then you get to determine if it actually is or not. And if it's not funny, then you sort of post-apologize or you do a save. Fair enough. I've tried both strategies. I don't really feel one way or the other. So that's pretty much the two possible scenarios for that. But why do I even bring this up in the first place? It brings up something else that to me is totally unrelated to whether that scenario played out the way that this comic was stating that it played out or not. And what this has to do with is a comic who's going to post online criticizing one of the greatest comics ever, as though, first of all, he's in a position to do so. Now, everybody can go online and express opinions. But I just look at that of going, well, what is he trying to accomplish by doing this? And what does he think that's going to do? And is it going to help him? Does it help this comic's career to be sort of self-righteously criticizing one of the greatest comics ever as being cowardly? First of all, who are you? What makes you so courageous that you have the ability to go online and criticize somebody else? By the way, I realize the irony that that's exactly what I'm doing, but I'm not naming names. I'm talking philosophy here.
Okay.
And I just think about it, like, if I was a booker or a producer and I saw this post, I would be, wow, this comic seems very overtly and outwardly critical. Probably not somebody I want to work with. Let's take it even further. Let's say that Jerry Seinfeld is touring, which he is doing, by the way, and doing gigs. And he happens to be in that comic's local town. And then he reaches out to his agents or his people or the booker and says, hey, why don't I come into town? I always like to try to give local comics the opportunity of a lifetime to do a guest set. Go ahead and look at all the comics. You know, Google some social media accounts of some local comics. And they find that comic's account and they're looking through and they're going, oh, this guy seems like he might be funny. Maybe he can open for Jerry. What? What's this? Oh, he thinks Jerry Seinfeld is a coward? Yeah, probably not going to book that guy. Now, is that a pretty extreme example? Sure. But it does bleed into a philosophy of mine to where I, as best as I can, and I'm not perfect at it, try to be so cognizant to not be out there trying to tear down what everybody else is doing. Or pointing out how everyone else could be doing it better. As a matter of fact, I have removed episodes of this podcast because I felt they started to get in that territory a little bit. And went, eh, I don't need to be tearing other people down and letting other people know how everyone else screwed up or whatever. I've got plenty to work on my own. And when I think about, you know, let's replay that scenario. Can you imagine Jerry Seinfeld 30 years ago in the 70s or in the 80s? You know, the internet didn't exist back then, but can you imagine Jerry Seinfeld, you know, taking out an article or whatever the equivalent of, you know, 1980s internet would have been? I guess it would be a newspaper article. Isn't that so weird that, like, I can't even think of how anybody who wasn't, like, a huge influence would even have a voice? That's what's so weird about the internet, is it's given everybody a platform and a voice to where anybody can post anything to the world with almost, with very minimal gates, you know, gatekeepers or whatever. So I'm also thinking of the Steve Martin documentary that I just watched, and Steve Martin actually is talking to Jerry Seinfeld, and they talk about how, oh, you know, if a comic isn't funny, he goes, it's not my job to criticize. He goes, if I don't think they're funny, I just don't think they're funny. And I move on. He goes, but this whole, idea of, oh, this comic isn't funny, now I need to go online and tell everybody how unfunny he is. He goes, that's just not the business I'm in. He goes, I'm in the create business, not in the criticize business. That's what the critics are for, is to just go criticize everybody. To me, what is truly courageous is creating, is trying a new joke in front of an audience, even if it is a resurrected joke from 15 years ago. That to me is courageous. Which to me is courageous is having one of the most successful careers ever, and still at whatever age he is now, in his 60s probably, he's even maybe 70 by now. Is to go, hey, I'm 60, I'm 70 years old. I've already achieved a level of fame that less than 1% of any comedian or actor or entertainer could ever even hope to achieve. I have more money than I could ever spend in my lifetime. I'm set up financially. I'm more comfortable. I could just slip into retirement and do whatever the heck I wanted to do. I could travel. I could spend time with my kids. I have enough money and resources to do whatever the heck I want. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit down. I'm going to write new jokes and I'm going to go do stand-up comedy because that's what I want to do with my life. And that, to me, that takes more courage because of the expectations of a Jerry Seinfeld. Imagine those expectations. Everybody thinks that he is one of the funniest, not everybody. So many people think he's one of the funniest comics ever and objectively had one of the most successful sitcoms ever. For just looking at numbers, you can say you don't like it, but I'm just looking at the numbers, looking at the data, look at the Emmys, look at the views, look at the syndication, look at how much money generated from all of those metrics. One of the most successful sitcom actors ever. More money than God. And what does he do? He goes and he writes new material. He reinvents an act and he goes and he stands in front of a new audience who are going to have expectations through the roof. And yes, they're also going to give him so much love and so much cushion and so much grace because he's a celebrity. So I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to be a hard time for him. It's definitely harder to be a nobody and to try to go in front of a cold audience. Like if I was opening for Jerry Seinfeld in wherever he's performing, that would be hard. That would be hard for me. So I'm not trying to say Jerry Seinfeld has it rough. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the fact that he still wants to do stand-up and that he still is doing stand-up and that he is still doing material or trying to resurrect old material to try to craft an act and to try to be entertaining at his age with his success, with his credentials, that to me is also incredibly courageous. Does it deserve a Medal of Honor? No. No. But would I call that cowardly? I wouldn't call that cowardly. To me, it's a little cowardly just to go online and to sling arrows at a comedian because maybe it makes you feel like it's a balance of power. Oh, sure, he's rich and famous, but look, I can go online and point out what a coward he is because he said an old joke was a new joke in front of an audience. Hey, if that's a demonstration of courage, more power to you. But who would I rather be? I'd rather be Jerry Seinfeld. I'd rather be going, oh, some comic has a problem with what I'm doing and they're posting it online. Well, that's okay because what I'm doing is touring and performing and creating a new act and being successful and making money and all of that. So anyway, those are my thoughts today. Do you want to be a critic? Do you want to be a critic or do you want to be a creative? Do you want to create or do you want to destroy? Do you want to create your own world or try to destroy or poke holes in what other people have created? I don't know. I could probably do a whole other podcast as, you know, the critic is probably necessary and part of the ecosystem. I mean, whether they're necessary or not, they are part of the ecosystem and so something to be aware of. But I guess it's our choice as human beings what part of the ecosystem we want to contribute to. Is it the I'm going to create and put myself out there and reinvent and go out there and fail and try new stuff that will be worthy of criticism or will be open to criticism? Or do I want to be the one criticizing? And I want to be on the creative side, which again, ironically enough, I know I just criticized the critics. So I have now become the very thing that I am despising. Isn't that how it always goes, though? Don't we project what we see? All right, everybody. I do not have time to go through this philosophical, it's not a loophole. What's the thing where it's like a recurring, perpetual loop? can't think of the term right now. The philosophical loophole that I am going through. What's that term? Paradox. What's the thing when like you go up a staircase and then you end up at the bottom of it? There's a term for that. I don't know why it's not coming to me. So anyway, let's get out there and create. For all of you dreamers out there, create, 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 and understand that there will be critics, and they're always going to be there pointing out everything that they think is wrong with you and everything that you could have done better. And then, yeah, sometimes maybe it's beneficial to give them a little bit of an ear just to go, okay, is there some truth to that? Is that something that I could actually take as constructive feedback and then improve and do better next time? Maybe, but I'm finding that most of the time, they're just better off left ignored. All right, everybody, I am going to end it there. I hope you're all doing well. Sorry for getting this episode out late today, but I love you all so much. This is May 2nd, 2024, episode 155 of the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. I will check in with you tomorrow.